To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. Last day of the year, 2018. Good riddance. Been kind of a shit year, man. Glad to see it go. This is my final show, the final podcast of 2018 for Glow in the Dark Radio. Being the last day of the year and all. We've got more of the adventures of Alibi Jones. Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. Also going to take a look at the year in Mike. The year in me. What I've been doing all year. The stuff I've put out. Good things. I want to focus on the positive. Accentuate the positive. All that. And also I'll look ahead at what's coming up in the new year. And of course we do have a brand new section of the novel we're heading into. The ghost ship part is kind of at an end. And now, the next phase, the aftermath. I'm featuring the novel, The Adventures of Alibi Jones, Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. It's out now in paperback and ebook, and as an audiobook. And you get it free, week by week, in serialized form here on Glow in the Dark Radio. Our last episode ended with Alibi Jones bleeding and blacking out from a loss of blood after severing some kind of parasitic umbilical from a supposedly haunted alien vessel that had attached to Alibi's ship. He cut the connection, stopped it from siphoning power from his ship, and freed his ship, but not himself. As Alibi tried to escape, the alien ship's tentacle sort of thing grabbed him. And Alibi felt its alien substance penetrate his EVA suit and then his leg, going right into him. It was in trying to get it off and out of him that Alibi ended up losing so much blood. But he seemed to have freed himself and the ship at the end of the last chapter, last episode. So you can find out if they've escaped the clutches of the ghost ship and what price Alibi will have to pay for tangling with the alien vessel directly. Coming up in our next installment of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest, here on Glow in the Dark Radio, in just a couple minutes. First, a reminder that I have a Patreon. You can support this podcast, and I hope you will, on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. $2, $5, and $10 per month levels. The $2 level is just kind of thank you and this is what you get, and some exclusive posts. $5 level gets you the free stuff and access to the archives. And then the $10 level is just because you're amazing and awesome, and you'll get a special gift here and there. But again, patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. You know, 2018, I was saying at the outset of the show, personally, it's been a very challenging year, man. Ooh, started the year single, suddenly. Something that had happened in the last couple of months of 2017. And then in April, lost my job at The Point. Haven't been there 8 years. You know, in both cases, they were like, yeah, it's not you, it's us. Go. It's like, So, you know, like I said, it was a rough year. But I want to accentuate the positive because a lot of good things came out of the year. And so I wanted to run down some of the things that I put out this year. It started with a bunch of comic books. In the first few months of the year, in January, I put out Vatican Assassin, the graphic novel, issue number 4. And then in February, right on Ash Wednesday, the 14th, I released Good Samaritan Unto Dust, number 2. Finally getting that done. Federico Guillen on the art, Ken Latier on the cover, are on the color. And man, those guys, in combination, amazing. Federico's art is amazing. And Ken directly colors Federico's pencils for those two issues. At the same time as I released issue 2, I released the 2-in-1, because it's only a 2-issue miniseries. So I released a 2-in-1 graphic novella, kind of, that you can get at the same time. So that came out as well, the Good Samaritan Unto Dust graphic novella. That was February. Then in March, I released the collected and now colored, for the first time ever colored, Vatican Assassin graphic novel that had been retouched and colored by one Carlos Quatordio. He did a beautiful job. Original art by Christian Navarro. I'm the writer and the letterer. Writer and letterer on Good Samaritan as well. I suppose I should have mentioned that. But yeah, so the Vatican Assassin graphic novel in color out for the very first time, brand new, in March. Then in April, I released a paperback version of an ebook I had put out last year. Star-Lord and the Guardians of the Galaxy, an unofficial comic book history. It's the story of Marvel's comic book team. Guardians of the Galaxy goes all the way back to 1968. It's 50 years of Guardians of the Galaxy this year. So that came out in paperback in April. In May, I did Balticon. It was great going to Balticon. That was awesome. Amazing. Good to touch base with everybody again, you know? I had gone to Aresia last year in January. But that was just one panel that I did. So going to Balticon was a whole different story. So that was May. And then in June, I released the audiobook of Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her, finally. July saw Alibi Jones and the Time War of the DeVriesium out. And then in August, I released this audiobook, the book you're listening to right now, The Adventures of Alibi Jones. It's book 4. Yeah, book 4. I lose track. Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. Now available as an audiobook, and that was August. So there was a lot of releases this year, especially right through August. Something new just about every month. In September, I reached the 12-year milestone with this podcast. A dozen years of podcasting. Put out a big article on that, too, over at Medium. On 12 years of podcasting. Throughout October and November, I was really working on stuff for episode 500 of this podcast. So I didn't put out a lot in either October or November. Although I should mention, you know, back in June, I did a really cool music extra with Sean Tuohy and Matt Hutton. The Hutton Tuohy Disaster, they were doing a thing back in June where they look back at all their years of making music together. And they played a show at Radio Bean in Burlington. So before that, we did an interview. So that was very cool. And you can find that in this podcast feed back in June. And then last month, this month, December, on the 15th, I released episode 500 of this podcast, the Glow in the Dark Radio Podcast. And that had a brand new Alibi Jones short story over an hour long, called Alibi Jones Christmas Present. You can go back to that too. Just go back to episode 500 and check out the brand new Alibi Jones story. So that was a big part of the last quarter of the year, was getting that together and getting that out. Now looking ahead to the new year, I'm going to be going to Aresia in just a couple of weeks, down to Boston for that science fiction convention. On more panels this year too. I'm on like 4 panels. So I'll have more details of that as we get a little closer. Then I've also got the Vermont Science Fiction and Fantasy Expo that's going to be happening in April in Essex Junction. So I'll have details on that. Another convention that's come up. Then Balticon again, that'll be in May, Memorial Day weekend. So a couple conventions ahead. I've got Alibi Jones, The Adventures of Alibi Jones, 6 short stories coming out in paperback and as an ebook in January for the first time. This has never been released before, but it'll be your chance to get this new short story that was just on episode 500 in text form, because it will be one of the 6 short stories in this new edition. So that's January. Federico Guillen is also going to be starting up work on the comic book version of Alibi Jones' Christmas Present in January, so that'll be coming out in the new year. There's going to be a new Alibi Jones comic book story in Issue number 2 of Always Punch Nazis. Ben Ferrari and Pilot Studios putting out a second issue of that. Huge Kickstarter this past year. I supported them, and now I'm going to be a part of it. Juan Carlos Quatordio has drawn the story. He makes the music you hear on this podcast every week, but he's a comic book artist. That's what he does by trade. So Juan's volunteered his time. He's drawn the 5 pages. I got a letter him, and they're going to be in Always Punch Nazis Volume 2 from Pilot Studios. Looking forward to being a part of that. And of course, I've been organizing and getting my act together to put out the new Alibi Jones novel. So a lot of my focus is going to be on that in the new year, especially in this first half of the year. So that's a little bit of a look ahead for the year ahead for me. You know, looking back too, I've been doing a lot of that. I posted a whole bunch of concert pictures I had taken throughout the year. Did that on Instagram and on Facebook today. So if you go to my Glow in the Dark Radio Instagram account, or just go to facebook.com/MikeLuoma. You can see all those. They're on Twitter too, actually. Yeah, so Mike Luoma on Twitter. Both Twitter and Facebook after their .com. It's just /MikeLuoma, Mike Luoma. If you go to glowinthedarkradio.com and go to my blog, you can check out some of my retrospectives. I've done the best tracks of 2018 and the best albums of 2018. So music stuff there. Blog posts and Spotify playlists you can listen to. So yeah, a whole bunch of looking back and a little bit of looking ahead as we finish off 2018. Thank you for your support throughout the year. Here's to a much better 2019. Looking forward to a better new year. And again, look for that new book, The Adventures of Alibi Jones, 6 short stories, very soon. And maybe see you at Aresia in January. As we head into January, my books are on sale for just a little bit longer, 99 cents each, with the omnibuses just $1.99, $1.99. I wanted to remind you. And again, if you'd like to hear the new Alibi Jones short story, just go back a couple of episodes to episode 500. All right, up next, we've got our next chapter of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Are you having trouble keeping up with the ebbs and flows of modern geekery? Is the real world holding you back from knowing what is happening in the geeky world? To answer these and other personal problems brought in by your friends, gaming group, and loved ones, Geek Radio Daily presents daily informational sessions brought to you by the wonderful Billy Flynn, the Flynnstress, and podcasting's Rich Siegfried. They contain such helpful segments as history, geek birthdays, box office results, the latest in DVD and Blu-ray, video game and comic releases. Why, they also have a weekly show hosted by the wonderful Billy Flynn and the Flynnstress, which includes interviews and commentary. And to make sure you are informed, Geek Radio Daily also provides you with your daily dose of geek news to make sure you know more than that jerk know-it-all Steve. Visit us at geekradiodaily.com. That's right, Geek Radio Daily. All the geek without the weight. Now available in fine Corinthian leather.
Now here's chapter 23 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi woke up. He looked around. A hospital bed on Ceres Central. He recognized the decor. He grew up on the station, knew it was Ceres. No one else was in the room. The crew must have flown us back here after we got away. Got me fixed up. He looked down at his leg. Looked like they'd replaced part of his missing calf with cyborgian tissue and muscle. It was already healing. Alibi flexed his knee. The new tissue felt stiff, weird. Alibi? His Aunt Anita's voice rang out, calling from the room's communicator. Aunt Anita? He answered. How do you feel, Alibi? She asked. Okay, I guess, he said. You should be able to leave quarantine soon, Anita said. Quarantine? Alibi asked, stunned. But I feel fine. The doctors fixed up my leg pretty good. Your guys here on Ceres do good work. That's just it, Alibi.
his aunt said, worried. The doctors didn't do anything. Your leg healed like that on its own, by itself. A flood of memories came cascading back all at once. Cat pulling him from the airlock, the blood, pumping blood, so much blood. Getting lifted, carried. Then, dreams. Strange dreams, floating among the stars. Alien dreams. Somehow Alibi knew the dreams were not his. Knew the alien vessel had infected him with its dreams. And more. Part of the ship remained with him. In him. Rebuilding his leg. Making him dream its dreams.
What else is it doing to me?
Haunted by the ghost ship after all.
We'll need to keep you under observation for a little while, Anita said. I've got a doctor who specializes in xenobiology and a specialist in artificial limbs, both on their way here. And Krish is coming as well.
Okay, Alibi said. But am I going to be able to stay here on Ceres? Won't the Constantine administration be after us?
Eventually, his aunt said. But we're not advertising the fact you're here to anyone. I'm acting as if nothing is going on. Matter of fact, I have a little mission of my own to go off on. But I'll be back soon.
Alibi looked down at his artificial leg. His alien leg. Human destiny? He mused. Anita frowned.
Get some rest, Alibi, his aunt said. We'll have some help for you here soon enough.
Once again, Dr. Devin Humphreys cautioned the Project Tex guiding the large sealed transport carton between them. They'd finally made it to the Project Laboratories. His building was in sight.
Be careful! Don't let that thing open, the doctor said. Not until we get it inside a controlled environment. I've got some top men who want to have a look at it.
Yeah, Doc, one of the techs responded. We know.
Both techs were tired of the doctor's constant, worried cautions. He'd been fretting over his cargo since they'd picked him up at the Rigel IV safe garrison.
Don't worry, Doc, we're almost there.
Inside the building, Humphreys unlocked the lab door and held it open for the techs as they floated the transport carton into his lab. Humphreys chuckled as they lowered it gently to the floor.
And to think, the doctor said. They wanted to jettison it from the airlock. Bang!
The thing inside the carton knocked.
Hello, Alibi!
Krish's greeting woke Alibi. He raised his head off the pillow. Krish stood next to the bed with another man and woman.
Guess my quarantine is over.
This is Dr. Malcolm Curry, Krish said, nodding at the man. And Dr. Jeanette Bialy. We're here to get a look at that leg of yours.
Alibi swept back the blanket so they could see the leg and its repairs. Got him to break quarantine, huh? Alibi said.
It doesn't appear to be contagious, Dr. Curry said.
Dr. Curry is a xenobiologist, Krish said. And Dr. Bialy is an expert on integrated human and cyborg systems.
Hello, Alibi said.
Hello, Alibi Jones, Dr. Bialy said. That's quite a reconstructed leg you have there. I'm curious to see how it has infiltrated your biology.
Infiltrated? Alibi said.
You would prefer, perhaps, invaded, she said. It is an external, truly alien element. I'm not sure what else to call it. If it has truly changed you in some way, you could be in violation of the law, intentional or not.
Great, Alibi said.
Dr. Bialy may be a bit extreme in her analysis, but we are deeply concerned with the way the alien technology has assimilated itself with your biology, Curry said. We've never seen anything like it.
What about the ship? Alibi asked. Is it still out there?
It phased away, or whatever it does, after you and your crew pulled away from it, Chris said. There have been no more sightings.
Is everyone else okay? Alibi asked.
As far as I know, your crew is back at the Hornet's Nest, Krish said, except for Dr. Humphreys, and of course, Lenora Schwald.
Humphreys wasn't really on my crew, Alibi said.
True, Krish said. He's one of ours, whether we want him or not. Can be a bit of a stick in the mud.
He and Schwald didn't get along, for sure, Alibi said. The three others exchanged knowing glances.
Lenora didn't get along with many of us science types, as she called us, Krish said, explaining. Still, I don't wish to speak ill of the dead, poor woman.
Whatever killed her did this to me, Alibi said, looking down at his leg. Kind of sending mixed messages.
Or not,
Dr. Bialy said, with subtle menace in her tone.
I was not in favor of lifting your quarantine.
Dr. Bialy believes you should be sedated, Krish said.
Can we trust someone whose biology has been so compromised by alien technology? Bialy asked. I believe we are taking a great risk allowing him freedom.
Or even consciousness, Alibi said. She stared back at him, unemotional.
Like I'm her lab rat.
Krish intervened, gathering up the other two scientists.
Come along, doctors, Krish said. We'll get you settled in so you can start planning your tests for poor Alibi.
Krish ushered them out of the hospital room, pausing only to give Alibi a quick look and a wink before he left.
Get some rest, Alibi.
Will do, Krish, he said. Alibi closed his eyes. He heard the door click shut as he drifted off to sleep. Alibi soared through deep space. The lack of light first hit him as stifling, claustrophobic. Space closing in as no space, before he got his bearings. Then he understood, and the universe expanded, spread out. He could sense more than see traces of distant suns, clusters of stars and galaxies. Zooming through the dark, he was aware he wasn't in control of his movements. Alibi felt like he was on a tour of some kind, a trip designed to show him something. He didn't know what. He hadn't seen anything yet. He simply soared. A small glowing dot grew into a smudge, became a spiral-armed galaxy, turned into a carpet of stars, nebula, and other star stuff as he approached. Alibi began to sense his shape. He was the ghost ship, the ancient alien vessel, as he now realized, he assumed. He sensed the presence of others with him, but they had yet to make themselves known. He wondered when they would. Alibi's position continued to change. The ship shifted places, from a red nebula to a yellow nebula, and then off out past a blinking pulsar. Then it was on to the galactic core for a look at a black hole, though it was hard to keep the gravity well in focus. They skimmed in towards the event horizon, but drew away before the heavy pull prevented their escape. A jump, and they drifted through empty space, towards the glowing green gas clouds of a dying star.
Pretty. Very nice tour.
Thank you,
a voice in chorus responded, surprising Alibi.
Are you the ship? Are you responsible for my leg?
No, but then, yes, in a way.
And yes,
the voice in chorus sang.
Who are you?
We are the Rodae. You are now part of us, the living ships of the Rodae, the Oneness.
I am not. I am Alibi Jones.
You deny us?
The voice in chorus asked, puzzled. Alibi tried to think out an explanation.
Not all beings desire to be a part of another whole. You can't just reach out and grab people, or build them new legs. Some beings like, being independent. Your ignorance has made you hurt and kill sentient beings who did not understand what you were trying to do.
Alibi sailed on through the dying star's gases in silence as the Rodei digested his thoughts. After a few minutes, Alibi felt the alien presence preparing to speak again.
"We are the Rodei. You are Alibi Jones," the voice in chorus said.
"Yes.
We could not communicate with others of your kind like this,"
the voice in chorus said.
"Not even Lenora Schwald?"
"Who?"
Alibi pictured the woman in his mind.
"She is part of us now. She is Rodei,"
the voice in chorus said.
"Perhaps. But she didn't want to be. You killed her."
"She is not dead," the voice in chorus said. "She is us."
The subtlety is lost on her corpse.
Part of him wondered where he really was right now. Still in his hospital room on Ceres?
"You are different," the voice in chorus said. "You can travel with us, yet retain your shape. You maintain anchor to your corporeal self. You are there, and you are here, and we are with you, there and here."
Piali was right, in a way. Can't let her know that.
"There is always great fear when we come, now,"
the voice in chorus said, with sadness.
"Because you kill people."
"We have not killed you, yet. And we do not kill. We make you the oneness."
"The oneness?"
"An attempt at translation of understanding. We are many. We are one. A collective? In some ways. Not entirely. Let us show."
The oneness carried Alibi through the remains of a dying nebula, glowing stardust flashing purple, red, and blue around them, until they slid back into the plush velvet ebony of deep space. They traveled on, and the oneness spoke again.
"We will show you where we began."
The oneness flew Alibi in towards a lone world, a dusky green marble lit by a large blue-white sun.
"Home, where we began as the oneness. We were two and became one."
"Are these memories, then? What was?"
Soaring in from above, Alibi saw black swarms of crystalline bugs crawling all over each other on the vast desert plain below. He didn't understand what he was seeing until he and the oneness descended from their great height. He realized the bugs were large bipeds, with skin like the outside of the great ship of the Rodei. They weren't crawling, they were attacking each other in a chaotic battle frenzy. When one of the figures killed another, Alibi began to understand. The black skin sloughed off the corpse of a fleshy figure underneath, inert, and slid over onto another figure whose own skin absorbed the first, creating a thicker skin.
"The first hosters, the Dendon."
"Your parasites."
The thought was an accusation, an unbidden reaction by Alibi's mind.
"No, we do not kill hosters. We enhance. Mutual benefit."
Alibi willed himself to wake up, snap out of the dream state, or whatever the mental state was, that allowed him to bond with and talk to the Rodei. He awoke in his darkened hospital room and opened his eyes. Dr. Bialy was next to the bed. The woman had an old-fashioned syringe in her hand. She was an arm's length away from Alibi's IV feed. He sat up.
"Oh, shit," she said.
"What are you..." Alibi asked, his question cut off, as the woman lunged at him with the syringe.
That was Chapter 23 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio.
All that and then attacked by a woman with a needle. Man. Yikes. We'll see if Alibi Jones can dodge the needle-wielding doctor in our next chapter of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. If my chapters had titles, I guess we could have called this one Aftermath. Alibi waking up in the hospital on Ceres Central. Humphrey's taking a little package home, a little, take-home meal. Or something that'll make a meal of him, perhaps. And, of course, Alibi found out he's got part of the alien ship inside him. The Rodei, it turns out. The Rodei were the aliens behind the ghost ship. And now somehow they're inside of Alibi Jones because of that tentacle, that umbilical thing they attached themselves to him with. And they were showing him who they are, where they come from. Just your average intergalactic sentient parasites, you know. But then the attack. So. Needle coming at Alibi. Dr. Bialy there. You have to come back and find out what happens in our next chapter of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. On our next episode. Again, lots of looks back at 2018 on the blog. You can see what I've been up to. All that stuff I was running down before the chapter. Just go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com and click blog. That'll take you there. Spotify playlist too, so you can listen to the music that I talk about as well. And a lot of stuff coming up in the new year. Most directly, Aresia in just a couple weeks. Going to be at that big convention in Boston. And there's going to be a brand new book, The Adventures of Alibi Jones, 6 Short Stories. Starting off 2019 strong. I like it. And you can still get all my ebooks for just 99 cents for just a little bit longer. That sale continues. The omnibuses are cheap too, just $1.99. And that is it for this week for Glow in the Dark Radio. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.